What's up, guys? My name is Mark, and you found your way to the Out of Step SLC podcast. Now, we all know Utah is a weird fucking place to live. And there's some good reasons for that, like how Utah doesn't conform to weather norms. And by that, I mean, even though it's spring, when I walked out to drive to work this morning, I found 8+ inches of fresh powder burying my car. It was super fun driving on the unplowed highway and hearing over the radio that some jackass was pulled over by the highway patrol for driving a motorcycle. Yes, a motorcycle in the middle of a fucking blizzard on a highway. I don't even know how he got out of his fucking neighborhood, let alone onto the highway in that crap. I mean, I bet you that complete idiot was wearing flip-flops and a tank top while he was at it. We have this random whale sculpture here in Salt Lake that has only been here for like 1 year. And leave it to Utahns, there has already been a religion established called the Church of the Sacred Whale on 9th and 9th. Now, apparently, we have this whale to thank for all the snow we've received, and how that makes any sense is beyond me. And I received a text the other day from a group claiming that the Utah state flag change thing that's going on is somehow cancel culture? I mean, guys, I thought we were done debating over a stupid piece of fabric. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, but hey, here we are. You can tell I'm in a mood today, can't you? But what I actually love about living here is the counterculture and the music scenes that I call home. I really think we have one of the hardest scenes in the nation due to the overwhelming need to resist the right-wing religious culture that not only surrounds us, but stifles us as well. So guys, today I'm going to talk about going to the Hell We Create tour with Fit for a King, North Lane, Alpha Wolf, and Kingdom of Giants. Now, this was a very different experience than I've ever had going to a show, in that when Emily purchased the tickets, she bought the VIP upgrade and then paid an additional $220 for us to get basically right next to the stage on the upper floor balcony. And of course, I have to mention that she bought me these tickets as one of my Christmas presents, because, you know, I have, like, the best wife in the world. I'm going to start at the beginning, because we almost didn't make it to this show. So, the day of the show, we had a massive snowstorm, the likes of which I haven't seen in years, a really long time. Kind of like today, but way worse. I mean, it pounded Salt Lake and the surrounding suburbs. The plows could not keep up. And we were super worried that the show was going to get canceled. It was that bad. So when I got off work and headed home, that's when I realized that my car was buried in a foot and a half, maybe even 2 feet of snow. Emily was able to work from home, so I got to take her car. Okay. But guys, the snow was literally up past my knees, and it took over an hour to dig out a spot for her car and get mine out. I mean, by the end of it, we were cold, exhausted, and hungry. And after a lot of debate, we made the decision to just press on and go anyway. Now, when we got there, I was kind of surprised, but not really. We saw a ton of people in tank tops, shorts, hoodies, completely surrounded by snow and getting hit with this just bitter, icy wind. I mean, Utahns are fucking nuts when it comes to like situations like these. We, and by we, I mean Emily and I, were all bundled up. I mean, I was wearing my boots. She was wearing a Carhartt. Like, we were bundled up. Meanwhile, we have all these other fans that are in Converse and Vans. I'm like, holy shit, you guys are gonna, like, die. Like, you're gonna cast some nasty fucking case of pneumonia or fucking freeze to death. But, you know, that's obviously the old guy in me coming out. Once we got in and got situated in our spots on the balcony, I'd realized something. I felt so disconnected from the crowd and the energy to the point where it made me like really, really uncomfortable. I mean, I've always been in the crowd, whether at the back or right up front, but I've never been in like a balcony like setting before. So like being able to be up high and observe everything, just it really threw me off. But don't get me wrong, it was dope. It was super dope being able to see all the moshing and the performances from up high without having to deal with all the fucking, you know, assholes. And more importantly, I didn't have to worry about Emily. You know, she was safe and cozy right there. Which, and honestly, like, she was super stoked for this show because she could actually see the bands and actually see everything that happens from a bird's eye view instead of being in the middle of it. So she was super excited, and that was pretty cool. Now, I'd say roughly an hour to an hour and a half after doors opened, Kingdom of Giants hit the stage. Now, they're a post-hardcore group out of Sacramento, California. They managed to get some movement going within the first few songs, but honestly, guys, their performance didn't really stand out to me all that much. I mean, I'm not saying they did a bad job. I think I have like this hope slash expectation that the openers are going to bring the heat the way that Unity TX does. And that's just a me issue. It's not them. I mean, with that being said, Truman Berlin, their drummer, he really stood out to me. I mean, he was super animated, and you could tell he brought his A game of just let's do this shit, which I think was really the main catalyst for the way the pits were going. And I mean, if your drummer, who's the heartbeat of the band, if he's really not feeling it, I mean, you're not going to really get a whole lot of movement. But this guy, he was fucking honed in. He was on fire that night. Now, to my surprise, Alpha Wolf was up next. I was surprised because on the basis of how they sound on recording, they sounded the most like Fit for a King out of the lineup, but way more aggressive. These guys and Northlane both are from Australia, and they took a 14-hour flight to get here. Can you fucking imagine? I mean, I've only flown once, and it was like a 4.5-hour flight, and I was losing my shit by the time we landed. I have the hardest time sitting still. I've got to be moving. I can't imagine a 14-hour flight. I mean, that's just crazy to me. Anywho, this is when shit popped off. Now, Alpha Wolf is on the real heavy side of metalcore. They hail from Burnie, Tasmania. They make you want to just break shit. And holy God, were there some crazy pits. Some of the craziest I've seen. Hell, like there were quite a few wall of deaths that night, but Alpha Wolf by far had the most violent one. I believe his name is pronounced Loki, which honestly is an appropriate name for him and his band because they're crazy. He had given a small speech about how grateful he was to be out touring again and said that Salt Lake is a really weird fucking place. And I mean, let's be real. He's not wrong. It's weird here. I try to highlight the weird shit. At one point in between songs, he jokingly called out someone for smoking weed in the audience. And, you know, people kind of went quiet for a little bit. And then he followed it up and he's like, I don't fucking care. Burn it all up for this next song. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, clouds came out of fucking nowhere. And the little bit of smoke that you could smell turned into just, I mean, that's all it was. Like, all the haze was just weed smoke. In that cloud, there was, like, crowd surfing and circle pits. I mean, with their performance, it really got me into their music way more than when I was just doing a little bit of research on them. I mean, fuck, they just finished up Knotfest in Australia, and seeing the pictures, it was just incredible. I couldn't imagine performing in front of so many people and getting so many people amped. Like, these guys are unique, and you've really, really got to look them up. I really think you guys will like them. they just scratch that heavy fuck shit up, fuck you kind of itch. Next up on the chopping block is North Lane. They're from Sydney, Australia, and guys, I'm not gonna lie to you. I really don't care for their music. It's just too electronic for my tastes. And it's not to say that it isn't a unique blend of metalcore and like electro slash techno, whatever the fuck you want to call it. They don't suck. It's just not for me. I mean, they did perform a couple of songs that nabbed my attention for a little bit, but for some reason, I couldn't really read the music or where it was going, and it left me confused. And I wasn't really the only one. I mean, I saw it in the crowd. Like, they opened up a wall, and the loonies down in the pit, they didn't really know when to charge in. And when they did, I have footage of this, by the way, it just... I don't know how to describe it. You can mosh to it, but I think you need to be very familiar with their music in order to do so, which could be a real bummer for a first-time listener like myself. When I don't know when to start flailing or headbanging or anything, like, I mean, you really don't even get like that release of a good blast beat breakdown, you know? So I still think you guys should go and check them out. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have, but for those of you who haven't heard of them, go check them out. You know, let me know what you think. I mean, they're not for me, but I think a lot of you guys out there would like them. And despite my criticisms, they did put on an entertaining performance and they got the crowd ready for Fit for a King. That, you know, like I said, they're just not really for me. And that leads us to Fit for a King. Now, these guys are from Tyler, Texas. I was genuinely really surprised to learn that they've never had a headlining tour before. I mean, they've been around since 2009, and they're a huge band that's, to my knowledge, pretty well respected in the community. They put out some of the heaviest breakdowns in the scene. I mean, either way, they played a massive set, including, like, the best songs like Backbreaker, The Price of Agony, Tower of Pain, and in their encore, they played everybody's favorite God of Fire, and that was just mag-fucking-nificent. It was so fucking cool. It was such an awesome performance, and they got everybody going with that one. It was fucking dope, guys, for real. Now, Ryan Kirby, who's their frontman, he gave a couple of speeches expressing gratitude for everybody showing up despite the weather. He was grateful for how it was a sold-out show, and despite the weather, people still fucking pushed into it, you know. He said that this is, like, the first real attempt at a headlining tour, and how it's been so nice to be able to escape from the stress of the tour, which he described as, like, potentially having to cancel shows, which happened on top of, like, you know, being a headlining band. It, you know, it's a very stressful thing. He would then launch into a song and holy shit, I've seen a crowd move in my time, but he literally got, I'd say, upper 80s, 85%+ of the actual main dance floor to just go berserk. It was an, like, very rare experience to behold, let alone be able to capture. I mean, guys, it was like watching a stormy sea. People were moving as one, like getting jostled around, crowd surfing, getting on each other's shoulders. I mean, it was really something to see from a different perspective. It was really cool. And some of those pits were extremely dangerous. And I mean, at one point, a kid went down and he went down fucking hard. Like, he got knocked out cold. And a few of the other moshers, they essentially made a wall. Well, they tried to get him up and escorted off the floor to go and get the help he needed. And near the end of the encore, and I'm not sure which guitarist it was, you know, sue me, whatever. He ended up standing on the hands of the crowd, and even including a staff member of the Depot who was super into it. And I've got a picture of it. You guys should go check out on the Instagram page, because this guy, he looked like he was living his best life when this, like, little thing was going on. And, you know, after that, they said their thank yous and goodbyes, and that was that. So one of the most refreshing things that I saw that night were the people in the pits actually helping each other up and going a step further by apologizing and making peace with someone that they hit harder than they meant to after a song was done. You know, I mean, I know that it happens at almost every show, but it feels like it's been a really long time for me since I've actually seen that. And being able to bear witness to it from above was honestly really encouraging. And it gave me a little bit, just a little bit, of newfound faith in people in general. You know, I also saw the assholes get laid the fuck out and a fight get broke up before it could really go too far. But in the end, I mean, even those guys made peace with each other. Honestly, like, that's what it's all about. Like, go out there, have your fun, and if/when you get a little carried away, well, just make it right. You know, we're all carrying our own burdens and own traumas and shit like that. And it's really, truly special to have a place where you can vent it. I mean, albeit as primal as it may be, but I think that environment, like, you, I think you will find the most balanced people in hardcore and metalcore, like metal shows and shit, where the mosh pits get, you know, as physical as they do. Cause you go in there and you just let it all out. And by the end of the night, you leave and you just, you feel so much better. You know, you got a lot of that tension out. You've probably made a new friend or six, you know, I mean, it was really, it's really something special. You know, I always try to remind you guys, just, you know, be good to each other and always just always follow the code of the pit, because you never know when it's going to be your ass that catches a fucking elbow, you know, and then you're getting stomped and kicked like I was with nobody helping you, you know. So it's just kind of a, you know, think of it as like a karma thing. Just pay it forward. Be good to each other, for Christ's sake. All right, guys, that does it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening, and if you guys could do me a favor and download the episodes when you listen, it would really help me out. It's literally like the only way I know that you guys are out there, and I'd really appreciate it. I mean, I've noticed some of you have been doing it already, and I want to just say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. It really does mean a lot to me. Please be sure to leave a rating and review on your way out. I really want to know what you guys think. Also, don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode. And hey, share this with a fucking friend, why don't you? Head on over to my Instagram, at @outofstepSLC, to check out a bird's eye view from all the hell we created. And until next time, we'll see you in the pit.